Hi, everybody. Thank you, Ben, for introducing me. Today, I'm happy to present my results of the impact of blended and structured non-BT refuge on Helicobacter pazia, pupil depth, weight, and survival in corn. You may be wondering yourselves why someone is presenting research of Helicobacter pazia in corn in a cotton conference, but the reason is that corn is the main driver of BT resistance to cotton. In other words, if we well manage the resistance of the corn earworm in corn, we can prevent something happen as illustrated in this picture. The corn earworm is a polyphagous and a multi-voting pest in the southeastern region of the United States. This pest completes up to six generations in this region, where it has corn as a preferred host for its early season generations, and cotton is one of its hosts for its later season generations. This pest has been managed using BT crops. However, the problem is that this pest has developed field-evolved resistance to Cry1A and Cry2A toxins. The good news is that we now have the VIP3A toxins available, which have a different mode of action compared to the Cry toxins. And these different toxins are being pre-emitted in different events in both corn and cotton. Also, it's important to notice that because corn and cotton, they share the very similar or the same BT toxins, corn serves as a selective filter for the corn earworm resistant populations that will migrate to cotton later in the season. The life cycle of the corn earworm begins with moths laying eggs on the corn silks. The newly emerged larvae enter the ear and then where they will feed and complete up to six instars inside the ear. When they reach their last instar, these larvae will dig down through the soil where they will create pupae galleries and they will pupate. After 10 to 12 days, the moths will emerge and a new life cycle will begin. Studies have analyzed the lethal and the sublethal effects of BT on the life cycle parameters of insects. For example, studies have suggested that the larvae that fed on BT had a reduced pupal weight and also a slower development time compared to larvae that fed on non-BT. However, the study that looked at the number of eggs and the fecundity of larvae that fed on non-BT or BT found no difference. Moreover, no studies have analyzed the effect of BT on pupil depth, and also we don't know the relationship of pupil depth and weight. The resistance management strategies require that growers plant 20% of their areas with a non-BT structure refuge to produce susceptible individuals to the system. But the problem is that the compliance of non-BT refuge strategy is very low in the southeastern region of the United States. And then we have the seed blender refuge strategy coming as a solution for this low compliance with refuge requirements. However, because corn cross-pollinates, the fear is that the non-BT ears that are mixed within the BT ears may express a variety of level of BT toxins, which may actually speed up the BT resistance of the corn earworm to BT toxins. With that, the objectives of my study were to measure the impact of blended and structured refuge strategies on the Helicobacter pazia's larval survival to pupation, pupil depth, and weight. The data collected for this study came from five independent trials that were conducted in North Carolina, South Carolina, Florida, and Georgia in 2019. We had five treatments and four replications of each treatment. How to use the mouse? Sorry for that. So in this table, we have our five treatments, where treatments 1 to 3, we have the treatments that represent the structure refuge treatments. Treatment 1, we had the pure-stand non-BT plants. Treatment 2, we had the pure-stand BT plants expressing 2 toxins. And treatment 3, we had the pure-stand BT plants expressing 3 toxins. For treatment 4 and 5, we had the same treatments as from treatment 1 to 3, But in this case, we had the non-BT plants or the refuge plants mixed within the same bag or in the same plot. To collect the data for this study, we used hibernation boxes, which had a layer of soil on their bottom and a metal mesh on their top. We monitor for the larval development on the corn ears, and when less insect larvae were observed on corn ears, we placed 20 to 25 corn ears on each box, and then we allowed those larvae to leave the corn ears and to pupate inside those boxes. We then later went through each box and we digged through the soil and we collect the pupae and we recorded the number of pupae on each box and also the pupal depth and the weight for each treatment. We then used generalized linear mixed models to test the effect of our 5 treatments on the larval survival to pupation, which was represented as the number of pupae collected per 20 years, pupal depth, and pupal weight. And we had our locations and replications as random effects in our model. To present my results, I will show you figures like this, where I have my response variables in the y-axis, and then I splitted the seeded blended refuge and the structure refuge in the x-axis. For the structure refuge, I have the pure stand non-BT plants, and then BT plants expressing 2 toxins or 3 toxins. And for the seeded blend refuge treatments, I split the ears between BT and non-BT. So here I have the non-BT plants that were mixed within BT plants expressing 2 toxins, and I also have the non-BT plants that were mixed within BT plants expressing 3 toxins. Note that the 2 toxins and the 3 toxins for both refuge strategies were the same. Our results showed that there was a significant effect of our treatments on the larval survival to pupation. For the structure refuge treatments, there was no difference between the number of pupae collected in the pure-stand non-BT plants and in the pure-stand BT plants expressing 2 toxins. And also, no pupae were collected from the pure-stand BT plants expressing 3 toxins. For the seed blender refuge treatments, our results showed that there was no difference of the number of pupae collected from non-BT and BT plants on either treatment expressing 2 or 3 toxins. When we come back and we compare the different refuge strategies, we can see that there is no difference between the number of pupae collected from pure stand non-BT and the non-BT plants that were mixed within 2 BT toxins. However, the fewest number of pupae that were collected were from the non-BT plants that were mixed within the 3 BT toxins. For the pupae weight analysis, results showed that there was a significant effect of our treatments on the pupae weight. In the structure refuge strategy, the pupae that were exposed to BT plants with the BT2 toxins were lighter than the pupae that came from the pure stand non-BT. When we compared different treatments for the seeded blend refuge, our results showed that there was no difference of the pupae weight that were collected from non-BT or BT plants on either treatments expressing 2 or 3 BT toxins. When we compared the different refuge strategies, we see that the pupae collected from pure stand non-BT plants were the heaviest across all refuge strategies. And finally, our analysis of pupil depth showed that there was a significant effect of our treatments. For the structure refuge, there is no difference of the depth of the pupae collected from pure stand non-BT plants and pure stand BT plants expressing 2 toxins. For the seeded blended refuge, we also see that there is no difference of the depth of the pupae collected from non-BT and BT plants on either treatments expressing 2 or 3 toxins. However, when we compare the different refuge strategies, we can see that the shallowest pupae were collected from the non-BT plants that were mixed within the BT plants expressing 3 toxins. And also, The pupal depth was not different from the pupae collected from purestand non-BT plants, and from the non-BT plants that were mixed with the BT plants with two toxins. The main conclusions of my study were that the corn earworm is being resistant to Cry1AB and Cry1F toxins, and also that the VIP3A toxins is still very successful in the management of this pest. Also, my results show evidence that there is cross-pollination between BT and non-BT plants in the seed blend refuge strategy. And also, when we looked at the relationship of pupal depth and weight, we saw that the pupae that were exposed to BT, they were generally lighter and also shallower in the soil. The results of this study are important as they refine the best strategies to slow the rate of resistance in agricultural systems, and also because corn is the main driver of BT resistance in cotton, our results provide information to ensure the long-term sustainability of BT technologies in cotton. The next steps of this study is to collect the data in 2020 and also to associate these results to adult flight parameters and also to the presence of resistant genes on those individuals. With that, I want to thank my advisor and my lab, and also the funding of this research, which came from the USDA NIFA and from the Ag Biofuels from NC State. And I'm open to take any questions. His question was whether there was a data for the pupil weight and depth for the purestand 3-BT toxins, and I can go back, and there's no data. Yeah, we have just the star. So the last three ones, those are the seed blended. So in this case, we splitted the BT and the non-BT ears. Yeah. You're welcome.
Any other questions for Daniel?
The question was how do we confirm whether they were non-BT or BT in the seed blend refuge? So we marked the non-BT plants when we planted them, and we separated them in different boxes. Thank you.
All right, let's give Danielle a hand.